Sefer Shmuel is a tikkun. It's a big tikkun. Something drastic has to be fixed in our history. And I'd like to suggest to you that there is another book that also is involved in this tikkun. And as I'm speaking in the next 10 minutes, as soon as you can detect what book that is, scream it out. Okay, ready? Here is the tikkun that's necessary. In our history so far, we have demonstrated a terrible pathology throughout, especially Sefer Shoftim, and even a little bit in Sefer Yehoshua, of particularism within our people. Particularism means that if it doesn't involve my tribe, I'm not interested. Aren't we one nation? Am echad, lev echad. And what happens throughout Sefer Shoftim is that not one Shofet, not one, unifies the entire nation in any battle to gain their independence from the enemy. The only one that comes close to this is Gideon. But even Gideon, remember he didn't invite Ephraim to fight, and he almost went to battle with Ephraim. At least Gideon was in a good spirit to calm them down. Another prophet, another Shofet, was faced with the exact same threat from Ephraim, which is, why didn't you call me to help you fight? And that Shofet went to battle with Ephraim and killed 42,000. That's a lot of Jews. 42,000. Remember when they couldn't pronounce the word Shibboleth properly? They said Sibboleth, and they just slaughtered them one after the other. That was Yiftach. Shimshon never fights with anybody but himself. I mean that literally and figuratively. Right? Devorah, this week's Haftorah. Tell me. She complains about all the tribes that didn't come to help. Well, why should I help? I live in the south. That problem was in the north. Can you picture such a thing? What's going on throughout Sefer Shoftim? And you know, it reaches its apex, or I should say nadir, when at the end of the book, which Rashi insists actually happens at the beginning of the book, but it's purposely put at the end of a book, where almost an entire tribe is wiped out of Israel, a tribe that produces the first king. And in that story, remember, a woman is cut up into 12 pieces. I'm talking about Pilegesh Begiva. Mary, your question on?
Oh, is it? No.
So, Pilegesh Begiva. And a tribe is almost totally wiped out of Israel. They go to battle, they're killing 20,000 here, 20,000 there. What's with these numbers? This is crazy. It's Jews killing Jews. And then, all the men swear that they're not going to give their daughters to any man from Binyamin. So what difference does it make if we kill all of them or not? There's no one left. There were just 600 men left. Do you remember the name of the city where they got women to marry? It comes up later in Shmuel Aleph. That's what I'm asking you. The city was called Yavesh Gilad. An event that, according to tradition, took place on Tu B'Av, where women were procured, if you will, or women were set aside for these men of Binyamin to marry, and the tribe got back on its feet. That's the end of Sefer Shoftim. And then it says, after it talks about the war ended and the Jews stopped killing other Jews, Bayamim Ahem Ein Melech B'Yisrael Isha Yashar V'Tope Naviyase. That formula was written four times at the end of Sefer Shoftim. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did whatever they damn pleased. Remember the name Yavesh Gilad, just for the moment. Okay. This woman cut up into 12 pieces, and the tribe of Binyamin almost wiped out, is just as low as it could get. This nation needs a tikkun. And the tikkun comes from Shevet Binyamin. Through Shmuel. This is the next part, this is the next section about the Sheilat Melech, number two. But the tikkun comes from Shevet Binyamin. And one of the first things he faces is a threat from the Ammonites to the people of Yavesh Gilead. Now here's what we need at Atlas Karta. Yavesh Gilead is far away from Ammon. Why did they threaten? Remember the bodily mayhem they threatened them with? Thumbs is the beginning of Shoftim. Their eyes, yes. Every man must remove his right eye. If we see any man with his right eye, we will wipe you all out. We want you to remove your right eye. What is it? Well, crazy peace terms, huh? You want to make peace with us? You want to be saved? You remove your right eye, and we'll put you to taxation. If not, we will wipe you out. Yavesh Gilead appealed to this newly minted king. His name was Shaul. You see why? Because why do you think Ammon threatened Yavesh Gilead more than any other nation?
They're weak.
They're weak, but also this new king, if he's from Binyamin, must be descended from them, from these 400 women, right? Remember? They're testing him. The same way that the son of this king, the king's name, his name Nachash, the son of this king tested David. Remember when he cut off the beards, the hair for the beards? And then they cut off the pants, remember the story? And David went to battle over this, Shmuel Bet Perek Yud. It's in that battle where he saw Bathsheba, so, right? So we'll get to that. But the people of Yavesh Gilead appealed to Shaul for help. We don't want to lose our right eyes. Shaul said, I'm going to help them. And he called upon Israel to send soldiers. You know what the response was? Typical Sefer Shoftim response. This is not my problem. You want to help them? Get your Binyaminites. Anybody remember what Shaul did there? This is the tikkun. He takes an ox.
He cut it up into 12 pieces and
sends it. Into 12 pieces, sends a piece to each tribe and says, Kocha Yoseh, this is what I'm going to do to all of your livestock if you don't send lots and lots of men from each tribe. ...360,000 men showed up and routed the Ammonites. Yavesh Gilead showed their appreciation later when the Philistines dragged Shaul's naked body together with his three sons through the town square of Beit Sha'an and then hung them up in the town square. The people of Yavesh Gilead, and if this is where the map is, it's good. You can see the map, Yavesh Gilead to Beit Sha'an is a long distance. They went all the way up, took their bodies, brought them down to give a shawl to bury in your shawl. They showed their appreciation. Okay? But you see the tikkun. Cutting into 12 as a sign of how fractious we've become. And Shaul does the same thing. Cuts something into 12 to show we can be one nation again. So this is the tikkun of Sefer Shoftim, of one king uniting the people. Ah, but there's more than this. Look at the beginning of Perek Gimel. Shoshana,
at the end of Perek Gimel?
Perek Gimel, Pasuk Aleph.
V'hana'ar Shmuel Mishari Eh Hashem Lepnei Ili Utbar Hashem Haya Yakar B'yamim Ha'im Ein Chazon Nifratz.
Okay. It means that the word of God is not spread out. Of course not. Ein Shechina Shruya Mitoch this kind of behavior. This doesn't bring down Shechina. The Shechina doesn't come to near a 10-foot pole with this kind of behavior, right? So, here is what the tikkun that Shmuel is making. Now try to get that other book, okay? Hold on, not yet. I'll ask you first. Okay. It's a tikkun that's needed not only in Sefer Shoftim, but it's the end of Sefer Bereishis also. We were 12. Brothers were not acting as brothers. Yaakov tries to fix it and says, go out and seek es shlomachecha. Can you read between the lines? Make up with your brothers. I know that you're not getting along. Right? And he hears that they're at Shechem. Shechem is a good place to meet their brothers because Shechem is a place where they at least banded together to do something for Dina. Right? But alas, by the time Yosef gets there, Yaakov says, go to Shechem, that's where they are. I sent them there. But when he meets that man who says where they went, he says, nasu mizeh. You see the Rashi on nasu mizeh? Rashi writes, nasu min ha'achva. How the man would know such a thing, that's crazy. But nasu min ha'achva means, you know, if they're not in Shechem, they're not going to act like brothers. It's such an irony. Because Yosef is buried in Shechem. And Yaakov says to Yosef, you know, because of what your brothers did to you, I'm going to give Shechem Echod Alachecha. They're giving you two tribes. But, all right, let's get away from that for a moment. They're 12 brothers. They're terribly fractious. They're blaming each other. Yosef is the one who brings them back together. But do you know what's missing in the entire Yosef story? More than any other, nothing else in the Torah comes even close to what's missing from the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev until the pasuk after Yaakov finds out that Yosef is alive. What would that be? Shem Hashem, the active voice of God. Did you ever notice that? All of Vayeshev, all of Miketz, and all of Vayigash until Yaakov finds out that Yosef is alive. The next pasuk, God comes to Yosef. To Yaakov and gives him instructions. You get it? Ein Shechina Shruya. What are you going to do to bring down the Shechina? There is a book of the Tanakh, short book. Nothing, no one sneezes in this book without mentioning that it's God who gave them, who put the pepper in front of their nose. Every little thing that happens in this book is because God did it. Miriam, are you thinking of this book?
No.
What book were you thinking of? Of course. You're right. Think of it. Everything that Naomi hears that God brought food back to Israel. Why didn't you just say Naomi heard that there's food in Israel? Right? Everything that happens in Megillas Rus. And who writes Rus according to Chazal? Our guy. Shmuel is Mr. Tikkun. He fixes Jewish history. In my Haggadah, I make some shameless plugs about some of my books, but I have a Haggadah where I explain what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Harei ani kiven shivim shana. Right? Very famously, in Chazal, he's supposed to be a Gilgul of Shmuel HaNavi. So he was 18 at the time. Shmuel lived to be 52. So he's saying, I'm like Shmuel. But it's not to be taken literally. Not a Gilgul of Shmuel, because I don't know if Gilgul is even true. It's even a thing. But what it means is that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was, for Klal Yisrael at the time, in a very fractious moment. Remember, he was chosen because of what Rabbi Gamliel was doing to everybody. He was really messing up, especially Rabbi Yeshua. He was really, the Beis Medrash was very fractious at the time. Yushalmi, fourth Perek and Brachas, really, it was a great schism that was going on. And he calmed things down, put back together. He did like Shmuel. That was my explanation of how he says what the Mephoshim would say that, you know, 18 plus 52 gives him Mariani Kivin Shimshon. So Ayin Shom. So this I submit to you is why Shmuel gets his birth recorded. He's an outsized influence on Jewish history, second only to Moshe. The importance of him. There's no David without Shmuel. There's no kingdom without Shmuel. There's no. Right? Okay. He's Mamlech Malachim. And when it says that Dvar Hashem Hayah Yakar Bayamim Ahem, remember when God keeps calling him Shmuel, 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 right? That's the story right here. Shmuel didn't realize it's Eli. Because no one hears God. Eli must have been very perturbed himself. Why is God talking to this kid? Why not me? If he has something to say. All right, well, that's the point. Things are changing here. And he's bringing back God's name. That's what when Yosef tells the brothers, Samani Elohim la'adon al kol eretz Mitzrayim. You hear the drash? I have made God king of all of Egypt. Right. So that's the ticket. He brings God back. He unites the people. Right. And we're going to start next class with how they thanked him for it. They punched him right in the face. Okay, so you try to finish. Number one, sometime soon, because we're going to in class next time go right into number two. Okay, in between, I'm going to talk in the beginning of next class a little bit about what the B'nai Eli were thinking when they brought the Aron to battle. What was that about? Okay. A little bit on that at the bottom, you see. Right before Atlas Karta. And there's good, interesting textual evidence for this, because at some points, the Aron is called Aron Elohim. Take a look carefully. And at other points, it's called Aron Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, Hashem. Mazeh. What am I referring to? Right? Okay, I'm sure you all know the answer right away, but that there are two arrows. Okay. All right. Okay, that was fun. How about this time, early on, let's come up with a Shabbos we can all spend on the west side. How about, Mira, you were in charge last time? Who was?
I don't know.
Who was in charge?
Me.
Oh, Rina, okay. Rina, you want to take it up?
Sure.
Yeah. Find a good Shabbos, right? I'm not going anywhere till the summer. I'm here every Shabbos, thank you, Shem.